Well, we do give you all a very warm welcome to our carol service for 2021. And we're conscious, aren't we, that we live in a day of pandemic. And we're thankful that the government and the NHS and so on are doing their best to protect us. And so we're following their guidance in wearing masks, unless we're speaking at the front. And we'll also wear masks, I'm afraid, during the singing of the carols. I know this isn't easy, and that's why we're not going to sing all the verses of all the carols. We hope you'll understand. And we hope you'll also understand that we would love to have served mince pies and teas at the close of the service. But we feel that's also not wise at present. We're grateful to God for his care during the past year. And this afternoon we want to praise and thank him as we read the Bible's story, the true story of God's great plan to rescue this lost world and to rescue us from our selfishness and our sin and our rebellion against him. And of course, at Christmas, we focus on that moment in God's story and God's plan when he sent the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, to be born into the world, to Bethlehem, and to a manger, and to a virgin named Mary. Please listen carefully to the readings. This is the word of God that we're reading. And please think about the words of the carols. The writers of the carols have tried to help us understand the meaning of Christmas, the meaning of the message. And towards the end of the service, we'll have a short message thinking about this Jesus who was born. Who is he? Well, the Bible tells us that he's the Saviour, and that he's the King, and that he's God. Three important truths. And if you listen to the readings and you think about the words of the carols, you'll see these three truths clearly expressed. When the organ plays, please stand to sing the carols. And when it stops playing, please be seated for the Bible readings. And when you leave, we'd like to offer you a book. Is Christmas Unbelievable? It's on the table at the back, towards the door there. Is Christmas Unbelievable? You'll find it very interesting, very readable, and very helpful in explaining the reason to celebrate Christmas. So we'll start with our first carol now, Once in Royal David's City.
Thank you.
Now let us all pray. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come before you humbly today to give you thanks and praise for the wonder of Christmas. We praise you that your only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, left the glories of heaven to come to this poor, dark and sinful world. We thank you so much that he was born as a man so that he might take our sins upon himself and bear their punishment when he died on the cross, and then to rise again to show that sin and death had been conquered. We pray, Lord, today that you might forgive all our sins and draw us to yourself. We pray for those who are unwell, that they might know healing and that they might know that you're near to all who seek you. We pray for our world in all its troubles and conflicts, that you might bring peace and reconciliation. We think of those in the Philippines after this dreadful typhoon and pray that you might help those who are seeking to bring help and relief. We pray for those in our world who are being persecuted for their faith in you, that you might surround them with your love and protection and turn their persecutors away from evil and to yourself. And we pray for our Queen and for our Prime Minister and our government and parliament and for our nation. We pray for our children and our schools. We pray for our health service and for all who've been affected by the pandemic. Lord, thank you for the provision of vaccines. And we pray that the ravages of this disease might be overcome in the coming days. But we pray too that this whole affair might point us and point our whole world to our greatest need and to our only Saviour, the Lord Jesus. So be with us now, and we pray that you might be honoured and praised through our service today. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The snake deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the snake, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." Thanks be to God.
God's promise to Abraham. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sands on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Thanks be to God.
Isaiah foretells the coming of the Saviour. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. angel Gabriel comes to Mary. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Thanks be to God.
Jesus is born. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Thanks be to God.
Rise. shepherds go to see Jesus. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Thanks be to God.
Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod. Wise men came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied. "For this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead, of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with the mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Thanks be to God. Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light, he came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Thanks be to God.
Jesus declares the good news. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Thanks be to God. This afternoon we've read some wonderful passages from the Bible, passages that may be very familiar to us. And we've sung these wonderful carols whose words and tunes come back to us every December. It's Christmas. So the question I want to think about for a few moments is this: will it be a happy Christmas? And what is a happy Christmas? And how do we get it? Well, of course, Christmas has to do with Christ. Christmas. That is Jesus Christ. He came at Christmas. You see, from the beginning of the Bible, someone was expected to come. That's why we read passages from Genesis and from Isaiah, written hundreds of years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Because these passages pointed forward to this Christ, also called Messiah, who would one day come. And then we read passages about how he came to Bethlehem and to the manger, to Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men. But who exactly was he? We know some of the circumstances of his birth, but do we know him? Do we understand who he is? I asked you at the beginning of the service to listen carefully to the Bible readings and to the words of the carols, because they give us important information about this one who was born. Who is he? There are three vital truths about Jesus I want us to grasp this afternoon. He's the Saviour, he is God, he's the King. When we read the accounts of that first Christmas, particularly in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, there are several characters who are specially mentioned. There's Mary and her husband Joseph. There's the shepherds. There are the wise men. And there's King Herod and the people of Jerusalem. Did they have a happy Christmas? And if so, why? And if not, why not? And I would suggest to you that it all depended on whether they understood and believed who Jesus actually is, and whether they then welcomed him into their lives. So let's think first of all about the shepherds out there on the hillside, keeping watch over their sheep. Working class sort of folk, very ordinary sort of people, maybe not religious types, not the sort who would think too much about heaven or about God. But suddenly, in the middle of an ordinary, dark night at work, something extraordinary happened. An angel stood before them, and brightness that came from God was all around them. They had a visitation from heaven. No one's ever had the Christmas lights switched on like these shepherds. What was their reaction? They were terrified. Sore afraid, says the old translation. Happy Christmas? Well, not at first. When heaven came to them, an angel and the brightness of God, they realized that they were out of place. They knew they were in big trouble because they were sinners. But did you hear what the angel said to them? Don't be afraid. Well, how could they not be afraid? Don't be afraid, said the angel, because I bring you good news of great joy. Wow. Sounds like a happy Christmas after all. But not for them, surely. Not for these rough shepherds. But listen to what the angel said. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Well, that'd be okay for religious people, no doubt. Or kind, help my neighbour sort of people. But for us shepherds? How could that be? Well, the angel told them how. Today, said the angel, in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord. Christ has come. It's Christmas. Jesus has been born, and this is the deal. He's a saviour. And that's just what the shepherds needed. And not just the shepherds, all people and us. Because all of us are sinners. And all of us need a saviour to rescue us from our sin. That's why Jesus came. One day, he would go to the cross. And it was there, in suffering and dying, that he would pay the ultimate rescue price, the penalty for our sins, so that we and the shepherds might be forgiven and saved and made ready for heaven. It was a happy Christmas for the shepherds because they met Jesus and discovered that he is the saviour we all need. Now, in the second place, what about Mary and Joseph? How was Christmas for them? Well, it didn't start very well. They were far from home and couldn't find a hotel room free. That sounds a bit contemporary, doesn't it? But go back before that. Go back to when Christmas was first announced to them. We read about the angel Gabriel coming to Mary and telling her she would have a baby called Jesus, who would be very great and who would have an everlasting kingdom. What was her reaction? Oh, happy Christmas. No, she was greatly troubled. And she asked the question, how will this be since I'm a virgin? She was bewildered. But did she have a happy Christmas? Well, we read, when the shepherds came to see her, they told her what the angel had said to them. And we read that Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Treasured. It was a happy Christmas for her. How come? Well, when she heard that an angel had announced the birth of Jesus to shepherds, it confirmed to her what the angel Gabriel had told her and what had been her experience, that the Holy Spirit would come upon her and the one to be born would be called the Son of God. And Joseph had had the same experience. He'd found out that Mary, his fiancée, was pregnant. He hadn't been with her. It must be another man. So he decided to quietly break the engagement. It didn't look at first like a happy Christmas. But then an angel came to him in a dream and told him that the baby was from the Holy Spirit. In other words, this boy to be born wasn't just a human boy, he was also God. And he'd come to do God's work according to God's plan. The shepherds had a happy Christmas because they met Jesus, who's the Saviour. And Mary and Joseph had a happy Christmas because they met Jesus, who is God. So what about the wise men? Did they have a happy Christmas? Well, like Christmas here, he had a very long run up to it. That long journey from the east. They had a sign, the new star. But there was uncertainty about Christmas. Would it really happen? That sounds a bit contemporary too. Would they find the one to whom the star was pointing? Because it was leading them to a king. Their first inquiry wasn't promising. No new king in Jerusalem. But then, through the Bible, they were shown the town, Bethlehem. And the star took them to the house where Jesus was. And who did they find? They found a king. And they gave gifts to a king. And they gave their hearts to a king. The wise men had a happy Christmas because they met Jesus, who is king. And they bowed down before him. A happy Christmas. But there was one named man and a whole town full of unnamed people who did not have a happy Christmas. Herod and all the people of Jerusalem were disturbed when the wise men came to tell them about Christmas, because Jesus upset their plans. He upset their lives. And dear friends, many people are like him today. A saviour? You're trying to suggest that I need a saviour? You mean that I'm a sinner? How dare you say such a thing? I'm all right, thank you. And a lot better than many people. And are you saying that Jesus is God? Well, I don't believe in God. And that he's king? Well, he's not my king. I don't want him telling me what to do. I believe in freedom. Freedom to do just as I please. There's a choice before us this Christmas, my dear friends. A truly happy Christmas, or an empty Christmas, like that of Herod and the people of Jerusalem. If you want a truly happy Christmas, you must give your sins to Jesus, like the shepherds, because he's the Saviour. And you must give your future to Jesus, like Mary and Joseph, because he's God. And you must give your hearts to Jesus, like the wise men, because he's a king. May I wish you all a very happy Christmas. And please don't forget to take a copy of the book at the back, home to read, Is Christmas Unbelievable? And take one for someone else. If you have a friend or someone in the family that you think it would be helpful for them, please, they're there to be taken. And we invite you to join us here in the chapel on Christmas morning at 10:30. And every Sunday, of course, at 10:30. Now our last carol will be Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Thank you.
And so may the blessing of God Almighty, the kindness and compassion of the Father, the power and companionship of the Holy Spirit, and the love of our dear Lord Jesus Christ be with us this Christmas and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.